Meeting to the ERER Commission July meeting. First item is for folks to take a look at the agenda, and we can approve the agenda for the meeting for today. Anybody have any questions or any other items to add?
Move to approve the agenda.
Okay.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Jeff, seconded by Janine to approve the agenda. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda approved. Next item we go on to is the minutes from our June 11th meeting. People had an opportunity to read those. Noticed Diane and Sally are getting much more adept at succinctly recording what took place. And, good job.
That's Sally. She's much better than that. You can tell when it's my minute.
Sweet.
You can tell when it's my minute.
Way it ought to be.
You can tell when it's Sally.
They came, they saw.
Mine described feelings.
Interested in making a motion for the minutes?
I wasn't here last.
Corrections, additions, whatever.
So. Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Janine moves to approve the minutes from the June meeting. Second?
I'll second it.
Jeff seconds. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Thank you very much. And let's go on to the next item on the agenda, which are the subcommittee reports. And seeing as how the one that many of you were sitting in on was the Trusted Submitter Subcommittee, that seems to be number one on the agenda. So, Jeff, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, we just finished our meeting. And for anyone who wasn't here, I mean, just the main purpose is to redraft the trusted submitter agreement to kind of take out the things that don't make sense anymore and really to create a centralized location for the trusted submitter agreement. So the trusted submitters only have to sign the one document instead of one with each county. And there's a way for all the counties to check. So I think we're 95% of the way there.
Right. I think the biggest change is the fact that in the past, trusted submitters could submit an agreement with an individual county, and the counties were responsible for submitting them to the task force. And then the task force would have them available for anybody so that you only had to do it once. I guess we've kind of come to the conclusion that rather than have them deal with individual counties, let's put the agreement available for trusted submitters be available online electronically. But I think they need to be submitting it to the commission so that the commission does have a list of who the trusted submitters are that are adhering and agreeing to abide by the Minnesota standards. And then in that agreement, they're basically expected to work out their own arrangement with the individual county for the communication protocol and for the payment mechanism that they're going to use in that given county. And those are the things that the counties have to deal with that vendor. And that's kind of what we thought made most sense. And I think that's the change in that sense, because the old task force didn't have all the submitters, and some of the counties weren't good about submitting agreements to the state for whatever reason. And I think we as a commission at least need to know who are the people that are using the system and that have signed agreements, basically that trusted submitter agreement. So that's kind of what we were talking about. And then the changes, I think, as Jeff said, are pretty much cosmetic in the sense of we're now a commission, not a task force. We don't have pilots anymore. This is real. And then kind of distinguishing certain things that were done in the Model 3 environment versus what we will be doing in the Model 2 environment, and I think that's pretty much...
And to keep it open enough to accommodate any future
changes and technology or that sort of thing. So, and hopefully we'll have back that at the August meeting for people to look at then.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff. Good job.
Thank you.
And the County Recording Group Committee. Now, if I'm correct, this is the one that's dealing with all of these other issues, Diane?
This is
the recording list. Volume activity.
Yep.
And
yeah, it's pretty light. Not really great recording. I'm not even on there.
But we're sure that all 87 counties are still recording.
So I'm going to work on revamping my method, and that's to ask for monthly data input instead of quarterly. So I won't be sending that out.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of put the discussion that we had regarding the county resolution to later in the agenda.
Right. Well, then why don't we go on to the ECRV update. I can share with you what I do know, and that not much is new on that front. Joel has told us that he thinks they're very close to going live in Dakota County. That's what he told me here 2 weeks ago at our conference.
I'll
remain to be seen. Have you heard this, Janelle? He says they've made a number of changes based on the input that they received from the submitter group, and I assume that was you in Dakota.
Yeah,
title.
It's been minimal,
but yes,
we've certainly,
those are the two counties. Okay. But no, I've not talked to people about going live. Okay. Well, that's what he told us, that they thought they were pretty close to being able to go live in Dakota. That would be very nice to see that. Now, we did talk about doing a little follow-up with the Department of Revenue after we maybe approved our standards here so that we at least have our piece done, and then we can let Revenue know that they're holding up some things here, and I think that's probably what we need to do next and have that little meeting.
What about Marty now with his change? Isn't he still be, I think he'd still be...
He's been talked to, I know.
Clay County sent him a letter.
Did they know?
Mm-hmm, because North Dakota just started e-recording, and they can record everything. And Clay is sitting there having been e-recording for 3 years and cannot record a package. And he said this must be taken care of. That was his answer to her. She copied me a letter that she sent to him and his response. And,
okay.
So he is being hit by more than just me. So anyone else who would like to contact him might make more difference. And you may be sure to use my name when you contact him, that it is an important issue.
Okay.
I do think he will move on it. He did tell me that he thought there was a way to go around it without getting the governor involved, but if that didn't work, it could come directly from the governor. But, you know, you still can't make, even a governor can't make it happen, Kenny.
Well, as I sometimes tell people, you can order me to fly, but that doesn't necessarily mean I can fly.
Right, that's what I meant. But the pressure might be on, and if he thinks it's a big enough issue that puts him out there in the public, since he's going to run for governor,
right,
he may decide it's a big enough issue if enough people contact him that think it's important.
Mm-hmm. As part of that contact, I'd love them to say that free help has been refused and best-in-class practice sharing has been refused. And that's one of the most confusing parts as we look in. I also would love the commission to consider an alternative to announce to the Department of Revenue. Right now, all of the submitters have to complete the CRB. The appropriate documentation for the recorder's office could be scanned in as a Model 2 right now, mm-hmm. and could accompany the deed, and we could start e-recording deeds in Minnesota with the other doc types. So the e-survey is still completed, mm-hmm. as it is now, but you use the electronic deed submission with an accompanying image of the CRB.
We won't have original.
Two images.
Well, whatever is required, whatever you as recorders say.
Doesn't have an original signature, though, too. Doesn't a CRB require an original signature?
That's the Department of Revenue.
Yeah.
There's also technology for the signature to be applied digitally or digitized signature and continue. So we can say to the Department of Revenue, you still get your form, you still get everything that you want. We're going to proceed with electronic recording, and this is what the recorders or the ERER commission approves. I know that kind of hybrids between this discussion and the next discussion, but I continue to get pressure from submitters. I was at a large regional title plant this morning, and they don't understand why they can record every document, and in every county in Iowa, North Dakota, I mean, continue the list, but there's the holdup.
Yeah.
So there's a quick...
Well, I intended after today's meeting next week to give Gordon a call and do a follow-up with him and to let him know that the commission, hopefully later this afternoon, will approve some standards, that we may have standard business rules that have been approved, and want to talk more specifically about when they're going to have things available statewide. And if not, we need to talk about alternatives. I think that's kind of what I thought I would just approach Gordon with. And what you've just heard is certainly one of the alternatives to consider doing. I don't like it from a county perspective, because one of the things that ECRB does for me as a county, it eliminates my need to be rekeying that information into the state system, which they require all 87 counties to have to do. And it gives them then a feeling like, we've got more time. They're feeling they're under the gun right now, and I don't know that I want to let up on the throttle on that, because they got their process improvement years ago when they mandated the counties to key in that information, so they don't have to key it in.
And send it to them electronically.
Right. But the counties, the only way we're going to get our process change improvement is when that form no longer has to be keyed in by the counties. And that's why I hate to back off a little bit. I mean, I don't disagree with where you're coming from. But I think that's the issue that's critical in terms of the overall concept of the whole process improvement for everybody. It gives us all better data. It gives us information that's keyed in by the real submitter. And the state will get it firsthand, which is their document, and it won't have to go through the county first, which I think makes sense. The counties will access the information from the state, just like everybody else will. I think it puts things in the right order and the right perspective here.
Plus, Mr. Chairman, Kay Ruckey has an update on the E-Well certificate, which I think should also be brought up to the Department of Revenue, because there's been some success there.
Right.
So
they've already recorded or submitted UL certificate. Which county was
in
the first
Fairfield
one?
County, one of the smallest counties in the state, has received their first UL certificate from AgStar. And AgStar is very anxious to, they're very progressive in their things, to be able to do that. They want to do that with all recordings. So if they're doing that in a small county in the state, I think we really need to move forward with it. And there really isn't, that isn't a pure document either, unfortunately, too, because we still have to go in and check the number. So we still are doing some work, but it certainly is easy to a degree, which Dallin's kind of walkthrough here, too. I agree that it's a way to solve a problem right now. It's an alternative that I think we should look at. It's not the best alternative, but if we're looking for any e-recording or any deeds, it's not going to happen in a small county for another 3 years. That's too far out for e-recording. And unfortunately, I think we might have to take some back steps just to move forward to put more pressure on. But the eWell certificate, or the EDW or EDC, which they call, has been very successful. They're very proud of what they've done. And in 2 years.
And
two
they
years,
started
under
later.
2 years.
They started later.
And what I don't understand is the process should be the same. The data is different, the document is different, but the process in which it works should have worked the same with the
Well, in their system, they're even accompanying a drawing, so they have a JPEG, you know, accompanying even the data, so that goes right to the state. So, you know, they're even having another piece that they have to do a little work with. But yeah, the data is being entered on by the customer and
but
the system. So
I really don't like to see us give up. I agree we may have to take some back steps here and get them to accept an image as opposed to the original document for us to get in at the county and then fill in their data and go on. But I really hate to give up putting on some pressure at this point, because the point is that if we don't, with all the cuts counties are getting, if we don't get a way to help modernize our back ends and let us do less work with paper, recorders, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect us. But it does the auditor treasurer's duties and the assessor's duties. And if we can't get them electronically moving, we still have a backlog at the county level as opposed to moving that up.
Well, couldn't we, I mean, I understand we need to continue putting pressure on the Department of Revenue and you know, basically they're kind of holding everything up at this point. But once, say for instance, once they get Dakota up and running, couldn't we do something like Dallin was saying, is we could print out a version, the DOR version, and send that along, and that would be equivalent, you know, that we allow for that at that point. I mean, pressure enough to get them to that point, but then we wouldn't have this three-year gap for other counties, and it would be somewhat standardized. Everyone would be either sending just the number or the printed version of that CRB. Well, when you fill it out, I mean, that was one of the errors in the system. When you fill it out, you have the opportunity to go ahead and say, print it. And this would be, then it would all be the same form type, but the submitters would be creating identical forms. It would be done the same way. The state would actually have some of that data in if they wanted it. And it's just... And I would think somewhat...
Did the printed version contain the social security numbers?
I have no idea. It wouldn't work. So, I mean, and that was the issue. So
right.
It wouldn't print, but that was
the
proposal, was to have it print we could still, I mean, we wouldn't maybe as quickly as what we'd all like it to be, but we'd still put the pressure on them to finish it off, and then we'd take that printed version of the DOR system as an e-recording in other counties.
I don't think there could be any better pressure than saying, you're going to have duplicate forms. We've waited for you for 3 years. We've given you X amount of thousands of dollars. We've solicited all of these additional doc types. We're not waiting anymore. Then you continue with all the political pressure. Then you continue with all of the other great efforts that are valuable to continue with on the course. But I, even if you have, the Department of Revenue has to deal with the duplicate forms, the recorder's offices increase their efficiency and their cost savings immediately, because you still have the deed that has all of the index data coming in electronic form. Mm-hmm. You just have the accompanying paperwork that needs to go to the Department of Revenue.
I suppose the Department of Revenue could then threaten to withhold funds from us, or the state could withhold funds. It's a joke.
how much more funds can we take?
Is that a new concept, Larry?
are they going to make us start paying them? Is that it?
But it goes to you first from the title companies.
No, I'm just I'm just not comfortable with it being one county at a time after Dakota County. That makes some of us a long time out. But I know that that's going to take some research to decide whether or not they will or can accept an image of that CRV.
Have to have more than one image, though, I think, yeah. Because there's one that's longer that
has the Social Security back
with the right. SS numbers, which we don't keep. We forward that onto the state. We keep the shorter version without the SS numbers. So there, you may have to have two. One that you don't keep.
But the other one just has that piece on the bottom, correct?
Well, it has everything else on there too. It's
right. But I meant it has. All the rust is a duplicate above that.
Correct.
So we could, in our own, which here backs us up again.
We'll talk about scissors now.
Yeah. We have typewriters. Why not scissors?
Well, you fill out the whole form, and then there's a way to take part of that form and forward it on to the appropriate department, and the other form goes forwarded on to the Department of Revenue.
Somewhere in there, but it that complicates and makes more work.
It does
for the county, and I hesitate to set as a recorder and dump more work on the auditor assessor and then have us say that this is an electronic system that benefits the whole county. We've been pushing that.
I must not be explaining myself, because I don't. What I'm recommending doesn't add to the county recorders, because they still have to complete the CRV. Right now, they have to complete it. There's instructions. Rip off the back. Send here. The other images go here. So the form is still being created because they're not moving. And then you advise them what works for you, including any instruction to the submitters, because they're the ones that have to
get the form there. And I understand that. We're just not getting the back end modernized.
We're not getting the front end when our office is done either. 3 years from now, I'll get deeds. I'll be the last one on the list to get the deeds. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
We're going to improve ours if we don't.
Well, and they're still going to make us data enter that information in. That's the bottom line, is you,
as long as
you can go ahead and say submitters need to send a paper copy to the Department of Revenue. But that's not how it works. How it works is they send it to us because we are data entering, or the auditor treasurer is data entering that information into their system. That's what's happening.
I didn't hear him say that either. I heard him said rather than get four copies that's pink, yellow, white, whatever, and one has the bottom line, now you're going to get two images, one that doesn't have a social and one that does, and you print out four copies. And you do exactly what you did before with the paper copies.
And
right.
And
but
I
now
that.
We don't have to hold up the deeds. So you're not creating more work. You're doing the exact same amount of work with the CRV.
Right.
And and let the Department of Revenue manually keep doing it.
And, but it doesn't help our back end.
Exactly.
Which is a big deal because you talk about we're getting unallocated funds, we've got less staff. This is not solving that problem, is what Janine is saying.
Exactly.
I agree with her. And then if we kind of solve it for them a little bit, are they going to then even delay further? I mean, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place here.
And we do have to look at legislation or at the laws or the rules or whatever it is that tell us what must be submitted at this time, because we have to get around that wet signature if that is a requirement for them.
Plus, you also have the issue of, well, you got more pages now to deal with, and what do you do? How do you separate out what you're going to keep as a recorded document versus the one page that we could probably keep as an imaged page, but the other one with the social security numbers that the counties aren't going to want because we don't want to be responsible for that piece of it. So I there's some separation issues there with those pages or
yeah, I
and
think
I see I that
the negotiating point, I think, with the state gets to be if you don't have something by a given date, the counties no longer have to key the information in electronically. It now becomes your responsibility, state, to key it in.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the leverage point because now it begins to hurt them. And that's the only way I see that we're going to get to where we want to go is to have some kick point that then says, all right, we've been patient, we've worked together, we've done all of this. There gets to be a point at some point in the future at which we no longer have to key the information in from the county side.
There is some of the information that they end up getting from us that's not on that form, though, that we have to add to it.
We have to add to it, don't we?
And there's value added there that the county adds to it. So when we send them the file and the paper, there's more stuff on there than there was when it was originally submitted.
So we add to it, but they're still going to have to key in the rest of the information.
So, Larry, I have a question. You said you're a county that does the whole process. The image system, or the image that would come in for me, who does not do the whole process, I could take the whole CRV, print it out, and hand it to the assessor's office.
That's correct.
I wouldn't have to worry about what part of the image I keep and which I don't.
You wouldn't want to make the CRV as part of your recorded document.
Right. And
so it is your issue to decide which things to keep and which not to keep. So you're adding a little bit of overhead trying to figure that out. You got to delete some pages. You got to get rid of those two pages.
And then the bottom of my big document says I only have 5 pages of the 7 pages that was sent.
Well, I don't know.
We just ran into that not too long ago.
Some would have to accommodate for you getting rid of those pages.
Yeah.
That would be a vendor issue.
This again is a hybrid.
But it's something that we have to think about as to how it could work, and I'm not trying to throw cold water on your idea because it is an idea.
We're brainstorming this. What Mike got today,
exactly.
I'm really excited about.
Yep.
But I'll also remind you, that's not even on what I passed out at the end of the last DNRR. That was for other free to the Department of Revenue ideas for how to get things going. I'm working under what Janine just said, where the CRV comes in as a helper document, just as a helper document.
That's correct.
The system can be coded, so the submitters aren't even charged for the helper document. It just comes as additional images, Model 2 images, that can be tied in electronically with the deed. The deed would have all of the indexing typed in because it's generated either as a Model 2 or Model 3, and it's in the viewing window. And this is just the helper document so to try to do some kind of workaround. But, where Mike just landed might be where we're at.
I don't really know that the counties have that level of authority over the Department of Revenue because it's a department.
No, but legislation might be introduced next year if there were enough counties and AMC was concerned enough about it to gather some attention.
Yep.
But and then that was going to be my next question to you, Larry, is how is that arrangement with the Department of Revenue that the counties have.
Well, one of the things
is that a rule, is that a,
has a hammer over of the assessors is that they license the assessors. They're responsible for the assessors, and if the assessors, I suppose, aren't complying, it might be rather difficult for them to remain licensed.
But what I'm saying is how they are requesting that data be sent. Is
they don't
that
request it, they demand it.
By rule, by legislation?
Probably by rule. That would be my guess.
Probably by statute, too.
The statute probably gives them authority to make the rules.
I haven't seen the county side of this, of the ECRB, but from the submitter side, I don't understand what would stop K from, say, if I created something, electronic CRB, Case County, and I sent that number, what's to stop Kay from getting onto the system from her side and printing that out? And I'll say, here's my number. And then when she receives it, she can print it out in whatever standardized format that she wants and then deliver it on. I mean, we wouldn't have any issues with images. We wouldn't have any separation, counting pages, separating out the charges, all of that. But that's what I don't understand about the county side. But from what I saw from the submitter side, you can basically create it for anyone, and as long as you could still print it if you wanted to, and even maybe send that all as paper if you wanted to. Or from your side, if it's electronic, we could kind of circumvent all these issues.
Well, I don't know. I don't really know what the issues are with the system itself and what the holdup is. Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening in Dakota County that's making this so difficult for them to move forward. Joel had made comment that it was on the assessor's side that's where a lot of the questions were being pulled from, that somehow the data wasn't getting to how they needed to use the data from the assessor's side. And it wasn't really necessarily on the recorder's side at all, other than just that piece. But it doesn't seem to be moving very far.
But I think that's as far as the data integration goes.
Into their systems.
Into their systems. And I'm thinking, but I'm saying if you were willing, if Kay wants to print out, if she says, I want to get this going, mm-hmm. and I'll go ahead and I'll print it out on my end. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just deliver it via paper, like I always do, to the assessor's office. What's to stop her? The data integrations, yes, would take longer.
The deed can't be transferred without the
company. Janelle's going to submit something to me, and she's got the ECRB, but she wants to do all of her deeds and all of her other package stuff with me. I want to get it all recorded. It's easier. Yeah. So she sends me this doc, or she sends me, go onto our site, K, here's the site, print it out. I print out the EC or the CRV off of her site, then I have it connected with my DPS. It's going to take time. It's going to slow some processes up in my office. But right now with the EWell, I still have to go on the EWell site and look up that number to verify. Yes. Same thing. I'd just be hitting Burnett Title's site. I'd be hitting that doc, and it would come. I could email it into my system or however print it out.
You're talking about using the state
system. I'm talking about using the state system.
I can do it that way too.
Yeah, you would just go right to the state system. Why couldn't she have access to the state? I mean, you're both essentially using that system.
The state would have to set up a system.
Right, and
they're
so
slow at doing what they're doing now, they're never going to get to this other system.
This was brought up doing something like this with the state when they were here, if I remember correctly, and they...
No, they didn't want anything to do with that.
Going back to the legality of that they need their form, what I'm saying is that the submitter completes the form, scans in the relevant pages, attaches them electronically with the deed, but then still the original form still goes to wherever you instruct it to. The submitter, please mail this now to the recorder's office. Please mail this to the assessor's office. Then the Department of Revenue still gets their form.
No, we don't want to do it that way. We want.
I don't want to be marrying together.
No.
You make the Department of Revenue do it.
I want them to accept. I want them a scanned image of an original. If we're going to do it that way, I want them to be able to accept a scanned image.
Which can be done too.
You know, because otherwise we got paper coming in and we go, what is this document for? What is this? We've already got the deed recorded 3 days or 4 days ahead of time. Now we got a certificate of value coming in.
Have them mail it right to the Department of Revenue then. Here's the original form.
We can't because we have to data enter the information off there.
Oh, he's talking about giving us the image.
We'll get the image.
I really don't like that idea because then we don't really know whether or not we both got the same document.
Yeah.
I mean, then we've got two separate documents going to two different places, and I don't like that idea because it would be a different document they scan in and submit to the county versus what they send to the state. I don't think that we want to have a printed and an original, or I mean a scanned and an original floating around there, because which one is the real one?
Right.
Yeah,
if you're
going
to do that, the scanned has got to be the original.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be part of the
understanding. And whether or not we can scan that and go that way, or whether or not we hit your site and we print it on our end, it's still a scanned image. It's still a retrieved image to pass on to the assessor's office. So, I mean, either one of those two would seem to work for me.
Yeah.
However you would find be the easiest for a submitter to do, because we're going to do the same amount of work. We're going to take that scanned image, we're going to print it, and hand it to the assessor's office. Or maybe in the one-stop shop, they can do something with an electronic image, just as an electronic image. I don't know. But it does have, the electronic image does have to be the official document. We can't have two. And so then it would be discussing whether the Department of Revenue will accept that scanned image, and if they won't, do we have the right to take to legislation and have it legislated that they take it as a scanned image the same way we did e-recording?
I think we need to review the rules to understand what the rules are.
That Larry works under, yeah.
But I think we need to look at the rules and see how far we can go with this, how far we can move forward with our suggestions or options.
I think it's pretty clear that you can accept an electronic submission of a signature under UIDA,
yeah.
The Minnesota version of UIDA.
Yeah.
And that's, now, whether there's an attorney general in the revenue department that's willing to give them that opinion, I don't know. But that's certainly the way I read UIDA.
Right.
Now,
we just couldn't accept them before because we hadn't accepted that.
We were excluded.
Right, we were excluded. Now we are.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to contact Gordon.
Okay.
Next week. Tell him our hopeful success here in the next couple of items on the agenda, mm-hmm. and ask him to have another meeting and to talk about when they're rolling it out, and if they're not rolling it out, what options we can consider to move forward.
In the meantime, I mean, what's to stop us from testing out our solution? We could try testing. I mean, we're not saying it's a valid solution, right?
But at this point, do they require that three-part?
No. I'm saying it's where we just take the CRV and scan it in and send it over and see if there's any issues, kind of pre-test and get it ready before.
As I offered last meeting, I would be happy to show what other states are doing, any of which would work. The most relevant, I think, is what Wisconsin has just adopted. But any of, whether it's a Colorado model, a Las Vegas model, I mean, this is what's happening in the country of how it's been solved quickly and electronically.
If anything's a motivator, we just tell them Wisconsin already has
it. And North Dakota.
We should do is go look at, we really do need to look at anything in rules about data entry or anything.
Well, when you stop and look at that,
we can invite them to come over. The revenue department to come over next month, and we could have Dallin present the alternative models from other states for our edification and theirs.
Well, when you look and see that Wisconsin and Iowa and North Dakota
Colorado and Texas. And
yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the bordering states and how much pressure that ought to put on them to be able to keep up with what they do and then continue with the political end. If I honestly believe if the governor knew how much money that private industry and counties have already put into this and that we haven't got anything for it, I think that would be a big issue for them. I mean, I honestly believe when they're taking money from the counties, that if we showed them how much money we've put in and still haven't got a product from a state department.
And the immediate savings of any mailback costs and the immediate saving of staff efficiency. That's the other key message, I think, for those in power.
So.
Well, let's go on here so that we get our agenda. I know we may lose our quorum here early this afternoon here. I know Eileen's got to leave a little before 3:30. So let's go on. Kate Ruckey did go to the PREA conference, and maybe she can just give us an overview highlight of top attractions from that.
PREA was just this last week. Just ended actually Tuesday. And we have a new president of PREA. It is Richard Bramhill. He is a senior vice president of title and closing for Bank of America in Charlotte. And he'll be taking over for the next couple of years. There are two new board members that are different board members. There's been others that have been reelected. Mark Aronson from the U.S. Notary Association and Eric Bloomquist from Simplifile, which brings in a different perspective that we haven't had in PREA, which I think is good. There was a discussion about NISMO and MERS and the changeover that's occurring with the MBA and aligning NISMO to MERS. And then there was also some reflection about the relationship with PREA in that, too, because we're kind of requesting a stronger PREA presentation with NISMO, which we already do have an alliance with. Bulk sales was a huge issue, so a lot of talk about that. And there were quite a few white papers that were done and were approved by the board. One was on the models and the research and definition of the model types. There were three documents dealing with e-recording, the security workflow, and two other documents related with e-recording. And the Business Process and Procedures co-chair, Bill Morey from Minnesota, had one of his papers done, which was an e-recording guide for counties. And that's phase one, and his phase two is then the submitter's guide to e-recording, so trusted submitter's guide. So Bill did an excellent job of representing his ideas and getting the paper sent. It's a good paper, and pretty pleased to have him aboard.
Isn't there a new vice president?
Yes, there's a new vice president.
And who would that be?
Kay Rookie from...
congratulations, are in order. Kay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And congratulations, and I think in another week, I think there's also going to become a new president of NACARAC here, if I understand correct. And I think it's someone else we also know and love dearly.
Yes.
Same party, I remember, right? Very good. Very good. Well, let's get down to anything else. Any other questions about PREA update? I'm sorry Bill wasn't here to hear us applaud him, too, for his efforts. So it's very nice. So, thank you much. Item 7. I guess that's what we're all here for, right? This is the Model 2 standards or business rules that we've had out since sometime in the latter part of May for public comment. And I see that we have an overflow of public comments that have been submitted here for consideration.
Is this the sum total?
This is sum total. This is everybody.
I'll tell you, I think you ought to all be commended for the work that our subcommittee has done. I think they've done such an incredibly outstanding job that who could find fault with what was there, and who could raise anything else but accolades for it?
It's a way of looking at it.
Well, I always like to look at the glass as being half full.
I guess I am surprised, because I did bring it up to the MLTA board meeting. We sent it out a couple times, and there was concerns about the PIN number, in which people said, well, we're going to comment on this, but they didn't. So it must not be as big a concern as we thought. I know, and I didn't add any public comment because I've already commented about our concerns with the PIN number. But, it is what it is. I mean, we've put it out there. We've given people time to respond, and, you know, it's...
And either there are no great concerns...
There is one item, and I have to apologize. I told some people at our conference I was going to submit something, and then I went on vacation, and I didn't, that we had talked about in Hennepin that I think was missing, and that was the certificate of title number to be included as an element on the electronic submission if you were submitting Torrens documents, so that you would be required to also identify the certificate number.
Do you require that now, Mike?
In paper?
No.
I know that would be absolutely wonderful if the documents came in timely. But a lot of times we get satisfactions after the certificate has changed hands, and it has a different certificate number than the one that would come in on the satisfaction.
Okay.
Again, this would be just reference information, so...
So we could take it anyway.
Sure.
Correct.
It doesn't have to be correct.
In your example, there would be a new certificate, so the old one would be canceled, and you'd know where the canceled certificate went, so you could easily identify the new certificate that it went on. So,
okay.
Again, it's just more information to help you get it in the right place.
It's no different than the PIN number being required. And quite frankly, if we're going to require a PIN number to help our auditor treasurer colleagues, for those of us that have Torrens property, giving us the certificate number is the biggest thing that possibly can help us in the Torrens arena, because we're required to index not by legal description but by certificate. So we are required to, you know, index those documents as memorials on the certificates.
And
that's the critical difference, you know, between abstract and Torrens.
Well, my only concern was if it was not correct, what it did to the document. If you're going to mandate it and it wasn't correct.
What you do with the document is still your decision in terms of which certificate you're going to put it on.
Because this isn't on the document itself.
No.
It's on the reference information that you're getting to help you process it.
So it's not on the document, so that somebody can't come along and say, how come you didn't do this on this certificate?
Correct.
Okay.
And is it mandated? Is it a require? Do we have any of them are required?
Not at this it used to be you had to submit the owner's duplicate certificate and title, which would contain the certificate number.
Yep.
And that went away.
Right.
And now every Torrens document I get, I have to go find the certificate, which is a lot of additional time. Would it be my preference that I could skip that time step? Definitely.
But what I'm saying is it going to be a mandated field to submit? Yeah. Just like the PIN number.
That's what I'm suggesting.
I have to add another question, though. Is it Torrens or abstract?
We already have that.
That's already required in the business rule.
In your county, it doesn't matter.
Me.
So what we're going to do after retirement, go down and buy a piece, Torrens it.
If Kay ever wants to get a pay raise, I keep telling her, she's got to have that other title on her name.
Register on there.
Yeah, right.
I'm just thinking, you know, because we, from our experience, again, getting back to, because we handle the front end packages, and then, but in particular, the back end packages, the satisfactions, the releases, because there's always either requirements by either the state or by our customers to get them out in X amount of time. If that information is not readily available, it's going to go paper. That's what I would say in our shop. If you don't have the certificate number or the PIN number, and it has to go back to research, and it may hurt our SLA times, send it paper. Because it would hurt us much more in penalties and fines and that type of thing that we have to adhere with our customers than if we had or incurring additional costs. How am I going to find that information? Well, now I've got to send it back, either go, you know, get out to an abstractor and you have to pay X amount of dollars for that. I'm just saying that's the reality of the situation. Any new requirement is going to limit the number of submissions. Especially satisfactions. The other side, that information is readily available. When you're doing a transfer of title, a mortgage, that type of thing, it's right there and it's not a problem. But when you are doing bulk assignments, bulk satisfactions, anything like that, you're going to limit the number of transmissions because, I'm a full supporter of e-recording, but I would tell them, send a paper because we're not going to eat that cost for an abstractor to go look. I mean, that's probably a $25 charge. I wish we got
$25. Just eliminate that and call us like they do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's all they do is call us.
But, you know, if there is a reference number on the document that's referring to a previously recorded document that's assigning it or satisfying it, I suppose there could be some way that we could relax that requirement on those because we would already know the...
PIN
number or the certificate number on those types of documents that already have a reference number.
That's all the difference in the world for us. If there's a referring document, which means a satisfaction or assignment, then we can...
Because that still makes it easier for us to determine what it is.
What's that?
So then we could only require it on
mortgages as
well. Transfers and encumbrances?
But any document with a reference number, you're absolutely right, Larry. Yeah. That would eliminate the problem for us. If you've got a reference number, I wouldn't need to have the certificate number on that.
Yeah. And so, that would solve our problems.
So then we could put a certificate of title number or a reference number must be included.
Well, no. It wouldn't be required on those doc types where there is a reference number. Remember that we set that schedule up?
Chart. Pam, was there a... Is she still there?
She might be sleeping.
Hey, Pam. Pam, are you there?
Yep.
On documents that had reference numbers, like SATs and assignments, did we include the reference number as one of the fields to add?
Fields to add?
Well, something that has to be part of the submitted data.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry there.
So if there's a reference number there, you wouldn't require a PIN or a cert.
Right. But if there's not, we need a PIN if it's abstract and torrent, and then a cert.
Same would be true with the PIN, right?
Right.
I can live without the PIN if there's a reference.
Yep.
Right.
Number.
I can too.
Okay.
And why would you live without the PIN if there's a reference number?
Because I can find the PIN because I already have it posted. The mortgage is already on a PIN. Yep. So I can go from the reference number to the mortgage to the PIN.
And I do that.
Without having to do any actual physical lookup of things because the system can do that.
That's because you've already indexed yours that way, Larry. But
Correct. And
some of us will be 30 years getting that.
Will the auditor treasurers find some problem with that?
They don't look at the assignments and the
satisfaction.
All they care about is the deeds, really.
Deeds and
mortgages.
Yeah.
So it'll work for them then, too.
Yep.
So it still boils down to these.
Good idea.
Certificate of title, reference, or a reference number. One or the other. Has to be on the document.
Right.
It has to be part of the data element.
But the electronic data elements that get submitted for Model 2 documents will require, if it's Torrens, either the certificate of title number or a reference document number.
So, Pam?
In abstract, you wouldn't have any requirement other than that which we have now, and then we're talking about making a modification then on the PIN side.
Right.
Well, it would so matter what you're doing with the Torrens property.
It would what, Larry? Oh, it would mimic that, yes.
Right. Mimic.
Right.
So, Mike, I guess the question would be to Pam then, can she rewrite our charts to reflect that we've got out there so we can just adopt? No.
Yeah. Pam, are you hearing the question there?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out.
How difficult is it to redo the chart to basically make it require the PIN number or a certificate of title number would only be required on those documents which do not require a reference number.
So like on a lien, you would require a certificate number or a PIN number?
Yep.
Correct. On a lien, a deed, a mortgage.
But you would not on an assignment.
Assignment, a satisfaction, certificate of release.
But those all have reference numbers.
Correct.
So you would not require a PIN.
We would not require a PIN on those documents.
On those documents. But on a lien, POA, subordination, those would require a PIN or certificate of title.
If it's Torrens, yes.
Oh, it's only if it's Torrens it would require a PIN and certificate of title?
No. The PIN for all of them. The certificate of title just for Torrens.
Would that only be the ones that have a legal description required?
Yeah, because like a power of attorney, you wouldn't...
It's not against a certain property, it's against a person.
Well, right. You're right. Yeah, the power of attorney you wouldn't because it's... You can have powers of attorney get recorded electronically that would not be against property.
Right.
Now, many times they come in as part of a package, and they're associated with that parcel for that purpose.
So you're probably right. You're associating it anytime there's a legal requirement, legal description requirement.
So if it does not require a reference document, and if requires a legal description, then you either have to put in a PIN or a certificate number.
Well, you always have to put in the PIN, and you have to put the certificate number in if it's Torrens.
Oh, say that again?
Well, not
you always have to put in the PIN, and if it's Torrens, include the certificate number as well.
So, but that's only a PIN if you have the legal.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is, but...
We don't have certificate number.
So certificate number is required for Torrens.
I think that we have
the PIN. I thought we had done that.
The PIN is... We did do that, the PIN requirement.
The PIN is required.
But what we didn't do was kind of give a break... on the PIN requirement for anything that has a reference document number on it. Requirement.
And Pam, I'm looking at our element sheets, MN3A Level 2 mapping, and under when the document comes in, we just ask, is it abstract or is it Torrens? We did not ask for a certificate number. I don't see that anywhere.
first of all, I'm trying to find where I saved the darn thing.
I believe might have been the well disclosure certificate you may be getting.
Well, the certificate number sits in the reference document, so we would have to find a spot for it when we do not have a reference document.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
So we could put it where we have the PIN number and just title it, you know, certificate of title or certificate number or whatever it needs to be titled. Just like we did with the ECRV, we added that to say if you have an ECRV, this is where the number goes, or the EWIL certificate number, we could just have the certificate number added in there. And that's along with the legal also, so it's not right. Like it would be sticking out like a sore thumb. It would actually fit nicely in there.
That's what she's saying.
Larry's just reading it over here.
Yeah.
Trying to see it.
Is everybody comfortable with that kind of a modification?
Well, I think it gets us where we need to be, and it sounds like it might solve just
a lot of the submitters' problems then in that sense.
Yep.
Because I think on most transactions, at least when there's a transfer of ownership, you're going to have the PIN number,
right.
And you're going to have, whether it's Torrens or Abstract, you're going to know what the certificate number is or the title company that's doing it really shouldn't be in business if they don't.
I think right now, and I'm trying to visualize in my mind, but the standardized reporting request sheet that was put out by PREP, I think it's required on there. So.
Yeah, for, I think it is.
Yeah.
So it doesn't be any different than doing it.
Required by whom? What form?
It's the standardized recording form that...
That they submit with their paper documents.
Accepted with paper documents.
Okay.
Kind of outlines what documents they have and how much they expect the recording fee to be, and it kind of matches up with the funds.
I think I mentioned last time, the only concern I have, I think when lawyers see PIN numbers, there's that old issue about the legal.
The legal
doesn't match the real legal.
Right.
And so that's always a concern about what's...
Yep.
But I'm trying to think of how to address that. If this is just where, in a wrapper or something?
Well, and I think we addressed that and said this: the purposes were for reference only.
Right.
Okay.
That they would not be,
right.
You know, we wouldn't hold that as illegal.
It's really a guide to help us figure out where it goes.
It sounds really logical. I'm just thinking about the person who's going to try to make the argument, well, that wasn't the real legal. The real legal is the one
really
with the PIN.
Lots of lawsuits out there.
Yeah, that kind of junk.
I think it would be very similar to putting the property address on the deed, which is already a requirement.
Yeah.
That's not illegal, but it helps people figure out where the property is.
And as long as we say that the PIN's there for reference only, then I think.
Right.
Yeah. Because we don't want them to start using the PIN in place of a legal description.
Right. See, this is the
what
thing.
We do not want.
Yeah.
Or put it as it's there for administrative convenience only or something like that to make it clear that it's just what you're talking about.
Right.
And really, I think most of the lawsuits are more around gaining tax information, PINs versus proper legals, than necessarily submitting the other way. But there has been out the...
Well, and then there have been real estate agents who have not necessarily maybe understood, or for sale by owner types who think, if I've got the PIN legal, I can put that in the purchase agreement. It's that kind of bedevilment that gets started. So just administrative convenience or something. So.
Well, and my underwriter was Attorney Guarantee. Mm-hmm. You know, they advised me I had to put street addresses on my deeds and that was to, if there was a problem with the legal description, it would help fix the legal description, so they do know what the PIN would be, the same thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you've got a legal description problem, that will actually help fix it.
Yeah.
But it's not the first line.
It tends to show the intent of what was meant, to clarify what was meant.
Yeah.
Facts to support your case, depending on which side of the legal dispute you're on.
It might help or hurt you, depending on which side you're advocating.
The point we're at now, do we need a motion to modify the certificate?
I think we would, yes.
I would.
We're really modifying that and the PIN. Both of them, I at least would see.
They're not adopted yet? So we don't need to modify. Do we need to modify what was put out
first? And then
I don't think we've said
any particular.
We set it out there for public comment once. If we make a change, do we need to send it out there for public comment again?
This one doesn't seem like a big deal, especially since you have no... I mean, this would be of concern, I think, primarily to lawyers. And if nobody has commented, I think this is not on the lawyer's radar right now.
Well, and plus, Jeff, you said you got input at some conference you were at or wherever that the PIN was an issue. And if this helps to resolve that issue for folks in your industry,
I think
I can't see what he's going to argue about it.
I can't see it being a huge problem.
No, and for us, I mean, we're a little different because we have national, but like we do with other state, Wisconsin is one. They require PIN. We're just going to have to say now, if you want your documents recorded electronically, or we may just say PINs are required.
Yeah.
And that way we'd have that covered for Minnesota as well.
So we still would need to modify the standards that, as they are.
Correct.
Before we would pass them.
Right.
Yep.
So I would move that we modify it by requiring a certificate of title number on any document that does not include a reference number.
That is
Torrance, yes. On any Torrance document that doesn't have a reference number.
And that better? A second modification, too.
And
the PIN number? We want to get it right. So, in other words, it's basically only Torrance that we're dealing with the certificate number and PIN number on anything that does not have a reference number. And on abstract, we would not require the PIN number on anything that had a reference number.
Correct.
I still move that. Or anything that sounds good when you write it.
Now, you do have to ask Pam if that's doable.
Shari said it was.
Okay. All right.
Right, Pam?
She's already doing it.
Did I hear you say very doable? Pam?
Oh, wait. Bjorn's talking to me here. Sorry. What was that?
It is doable to put the certificate of title and PIN number on any Torrance document that doesn't have a reference number.
And has a legal. Yes.
That's doable.
Yeah, it's doable on my part. The biggest thing is if it has a legal, then you have the PIN or you have the certificate of title. I just don't want where the document currently does not have that information, and now level 2 is requiring that information.
What you're saying is the Model 3 standards don't require that.
Well, Model 3 are all reference documents. We don't have liens and models free.
Yeah,
same like a lien currently requires a legal, so you will have that information.
Yep. Yep.
To enter. So yeah, that's definitely doable.
Now I have my recurring question then. Does by adding this stuff as reference like information allow you to move that thing called that single item on the spreadsheet called liens and encumbrances over to the release section? Because the thing called liens and encumbrances is actually a receipt and waiver of mechanics lien rights, which is not a lien or encumbrance. It's a release of a lien. So by, and I, as I recall, the problem with having it there was that it didn't contain a reference number, so you couldn't put it back with the releases. But now if you've got the PIN cross-reference, does that solve that problem?
Well, the reference number is really a reference document that
so
this, you're referring to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't fit in that category. I'm not saying it can't go there, but that's just kind of clarifying where that line was kind of drawn.
Yeah, see, and I was thinking from, you know, from my perspective, if it's a reference that allows you to find stuff, but okay, because
wouldn't
the
reference, wouldn't the lien have a reference number though? When you recorded it, it would
get
a document. Even if it didn't have a legal description, it
would get
a document.
I think that document doesn't contain it because it's a release of before a document's ever filed.
But you wouldn't release a lien unless you filed it.
No, this document itself does not really release a filed document. It releases a person's rights to file
a lien.
It's an inchoate lien.
Well, and Pam, as well, when we're talking about putting these in these particular categories, it's not necessarily the categories that the user would see, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, the way Simplifile or US Recordings or NGO builds their user interface could put that particular document or document type into something else, right? I mean, it doesn't have to look like this. We can move it around. That makes it more user-friendly, but I understand why she has to put it there because everything else requires a reference number, right?
Yeah. We could also have an open field where they could type in the specifics under these categories. Right now, with other states, we have a drop-down that would be like the 11 that is listed on the far left side. So they go there first. Then as they continue to process and index the data, they can put in the specifics of what actual document it is. And then the spreadsheet is so helpful because then what's required pops up associated with that doc type.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is that the county recorder is probably not going to just stick with the 11 or 12 categories that we have established there. They're going to further refine on their end when they actually put it into their tracked index. This was just to simplify getting the county recorder's office and to simplify how many document types our customers had to deal with. It's still, if there's a unique document out there that requires some unique identifier in the tracked indexes of the counties still have that luxury. We don't have a standardized way of doing that today, and this isn't really forcing a standardized way of keeping that information in our track. So since that one is so unique of a document, most counties are probably still going to identify that one as a unique identifier in their track.
Which kind of answers that first question here, right, for public comment.
That's what made me.
Right.
I'm sorry to bring this
that's
up again,
right.
But
yeah,
it's
I don't
the same.
Well, everybody needs to understand what this is all about. So that's good.
The other great news with electronic recording is the recorder can reject it for any reason and also explain why it was rejected. So if anything is off or anything is missing at all, the county recorder simply rejects it. There's a drop-down field or there's an open field that they can type in. This is what's missing.
Would it be better if instead of calling it liens and encumbrances, it really is a waiver? Would you prefer it to be called, I mean, would the commission prefer it to be called a waiver? category waiver?
You could do that. I mean, but it then would. It seems redundant.
But then it does.
It seems very similar to a release.
Right.
See, it's just like having both mortgages and liens listed. I mean, it's the same thing I brought up last time. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of confusing. But
right.
I guess what I'm coming to understand is that maybe nobody's really going to see this or
right.
function off this.
Well,
so
because we're going to end up using the names that we've adopted in our county,
right.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and so
it just allows the submitter to know what is required on the document they send in.
Right.
So if I just ignore the names in that left column, I can rest easy.
We can do that.
My
for
secret you. Fear yeah. is standing in front of the entire Real Estate Institute, all 2,000
yeah.
of those people, explaining why there's one category for liens, another one's for mortgages.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's going to reflect badly on me. And it, as you know, it's all about me.
What if mortgage tax is required on mortgages?
It's a huge funnel. And this is the first place it starts, and then it comes into the system and
okay.
is processed.
No.
All right.
Mortgages just require mortgage tax. That's
yep.
The other liens don't.
Okay, never show this to any other
just stick with the column there and the UCB document names.
I'll just
I mean,
use
I think
that
we'll be
one.
Fine with that.
Yeah, okay.
I think a pair of scissors.
And then the reference and then the reference number, yes or no. And
okay, I got to let that one go.
Just think, you got to think like a recorder or a registrar
well,
now instead
that's
of
what I think is one of the most interesting things about this process, you know, because listening to you people, it's all different from how
yes.
you
I think
about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Well, so.
Yeah.
Could we just even...
Real estate is the most anal.
They're slow to adapt
exactly.
change.
Well,
they don't want
that's
the first
fine. Line in the same place every time.
Exactly.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Uncertainty breeds litigation.
Another
yeah.
reason why the attorneys love it.
And they make money on either end of the line.
On either side of the fence.
It's that old story, you know. One attorney couldn't make a living in town, but when the second one moved in, they both got a comfortable lifestyle now.
Can I ask a question? Could we rename just, I'd say, these two to other liens, and then the liens and encumbrances only has the one doc in it. Can't we just call it what the
receipt
document?
And waiver?
Yeah,
just call it receipt and waiver.
Receipt and waiver. And then the other one called other liens, and
yep.
then you'd have mortgages, which everyone knows is
mm-hmm.
lien.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And then
Gosh.
That would be outside of...
Yeah, is,
and then
you can
Eileen,
modify that.
Eileen
that
could
way.
Then talk in front of the group.
That's right.
Yeah.
She wouldn't. She could go in public.
Show the whole form. And they would all understand it then.
Then it would be much clearer.
And if
yeah.
it was done alphabetically, then it would show on the second page, and they wouldn't be back-to-back.
Right.
You never catch
right.
it, because the attorneys don't proofread that closely.
Never again,
not since
what,
we got
what we followed four. On the left-hand column side was what they were called in the UCB arena. So,
oh.
you know, if you want to stay pure, that's,
yeah,
if you want to modify, that's okay.
It's what
yeah,
they
we
were called where?
UCB.
Uniform
Ranks.
That's what was our task.
Which are the attorney's
okay,
forms.
Okay, but what was the column, the Minnesota UCB documents?
Where are you looking at that?
In this column here. This was just the,
yep.
the Department of Commerce's lumping
categories.
Their category.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Does this require a motion, or does this just happen?
Well, I don't think we haven't set these things, because it just went out for public comment, so we haven't really set any of this stuff yet.
Okay.
And it's 3:00.
And I would be more than happy to just change the name from the receipt and waiver
cool.
of mechanics liens and put it under the column document type and leave that same name under the Minnesota UCB document name. And we have followed the Minnesota Uniform Conveyancing Document names.
And then as far as...
Not document type, but document names.
Lien, would we keep that? Or would we call that other liens?
I'd call it other liens. if you have to have mortgage as a separate column, or the other solution would be to move mortgage up there with those.
Yes, remember
well,
that.
But mortgage they has different requirements.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's
or maybe you want to call liens other than mortgages.
The requirements are identical when you start moving things around.
Right.
Otherwise, there's no point.
Right. But I'm just saying, if we rename the category, that wouldn't.
Yeah. That
and
really
we've and we've the documents exactly
well,
where
and
they are.
And the other thing is,
now,
it's just the definition
that
of that
where,
first column.
Right. That might mess up with.
Yeah.
Them.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
So did Pat get those changes?
So Janine, does your motion now include also that we have changed under document type the name of liens and encumbrances to receipt and waiver of mechanics lien rights?
Of course, it did.
I heard that.
And document types to change that heading to other liens.
That would be fine. It's all in how it's presented anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Now, do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
We're getting somewhere.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the modification to the proposed standards. Any discussion on that topic?
Call the question.
If there's not any discussion, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the modifications to be added to the standard, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Hearing no opposed votes, it's been carried. So now, I guess we've modified something we didn't have in front of us, did
no,
we?
No, we had to modify it before we could.
Okay.
Could, and I moved
all right,
that
we now have the Minnesota standards as we have, from public comment and discussion and debate,
have
that we have taken. And we've now come up with taking all of that input with a standard. Now, would anyone like to make a motion to approve those?
I'll make a motion to approve the standards with the modifications.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion on that particular matter? Hearing no discussion on that matter, we'll take a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? They have been approved. Thank you. Congratulations.
Right.
Janine?
In July.
Took 1 year. I made it.
Well, what I was afraid of was that my term is up.
So is
we have to look at the...
Okay.
Is Pam going to make those changes then on the documents then? Or do we need to? Or how is that going to work?
I can make the changes. I'll just take the minutes and make it according to that.
Oh.
So the minutes better be right.
Yeah, well, we put it just discussion ensued.
You could always come and ask me, Pam. I'm sure I'll remember at least half.
We'll put in the motion. No worries. We'll get it to you.
It's recorded, too. You can go out on the website and listen to this whole conversation.
After so many minutes, speed up.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Does this mean that people can now use these, or what does this mean
is
in
there
the world?
Effective date.
Effective date. Can people start submitting more documents? What does this mean to the world?
I can.
What are you waiting for, Larry?
it would
you don't even
to
electronically record yet.
I want to make sure that everybody knows what this means.
Okay, so then maybe we better clarify that it means that all documents may now be recorded electronically?
Yeah.
Well, on the...
Yeah, that's on the list.
Right. Do we need to...
I thought that's what the standards did.
Well, and you know what? We just build the because we don't authorize anything, right? I mean,
we
authorize
the
standards.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as...
It just has to be accepted in the county. So tomorrow my doors are open and you can email me or send me electronic documents.
Do you hear that, Pam?
So is Lyon County.
No.
I think it would be smart on our behalf to basically say that when we have these approved and out on the website, they can formally be used. Now, if someone was so anxious as to submit something here in the next day or so, I suppose there's nothing wrong with that.
We would have to, the only thing we would have to do is get the change standards out.
Yeah. Should there be a letter that goes out, sent to the counties or from the commission or something?
Well, I think something needs to go out formally announcing the approval of these standards and that they become effective, and I guess...
And we need to get them out to the vendors.
Yep.
You know, on both sides.
Yeah.
But they've been available public, so...
Yeah, but the new ones, the new modified ones should be sent out to... Do it, and I don't know if everyone, if Diane sent this out to everyone, if everyone's seen the list.
It's in the handouts, yeah. Uh-huh. We just hadn't gotten to that yet.
So we just need to get it out to these.
Right. Mm-hmm. But let me just add, I don't see any problem in moving forward with them, even, do we have any problem? Is there a legal question, Eileen, are you aware of?
I wouldn't think so. Because they're not, we aren't required to promulgate them as rules or anything,
no.
Are we?
No.
Then,
I think all they do is set the standards.
Mm-hmm. As long as someone meets the standard, they can start recording using this standard. Now, I feel bad we don't have them available to put out there tomorrow, but they'll be available probably sometime next week.
Yeah.
And they can be out there, and then people can start using them, yes. So... If your doors are open tomorrow, okay. And if you wanted to be first, if you've got a friend, is that husband of yours into this business now? I'm going to call him tonight and tell him? I see.
Yeah, submit a mortgage at 8 a.m.
Yep. No, I don't see any problem with that. Yes, Janelle.
Are they going to be resent like to the MLTA, or is it just should we?
Well, I think that's what Jeff was just asking.
I can do that. Yeah, I can send that out as soon as Pam's done with them, and we can get them out to MLTA. And then I was thinking, especially in particular, they've got to get to Fiddler, NGO, Tryman, and WCI, right?
What we could do then is post them to the website, you know, that people can download them there, and in the press release or letter of announcement or whatever. Then refer to the website.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Just make sure. Right. We'll just make sure all the people on this side.
It would come from Mike, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can take a whirl at drafting it and then send it to you.
Sounds good. Well, I would certainly like to thank all of the members that have worked hard on this. All of the recorders, the title industry, those of you that are submitters, those of you technology companies, and I really do appreciate the work, because we really have not had a lot of capital to work with, shall we say, other than the brains that are in the room and the commitment.
And I think we did this in less than a decade. Because I think it was August, wasn't
it? I think it was August of
1999.
Yes. Yeah. Remember we had that picture taken? I wonder where that is. Remember? Mary Kiffmeyer had the photographer come and photograph everybody who was at that first meeting because it was going to be historic.
Really?
Yeah, don't you remember that?
She probably brought that one.
I wonder where it is.
I don't think that's
some things I blank from my memory.
Oh, no, because I thought it was kind of weird. I thought...
she had photographers in weird places.
I couldn't figure out who'd ever care about a picture of us.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking, will we ever find ourselves on the wall of the History Center or anything?
That should be part of the press release, that picture. 10 years in the making.
Yes. I'm not so sure that should
happen. 9 years and 11 months later.
You guys still look very young then.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that picture would be good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow. I had more ear then.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was...
Oh, I don't remember the picture. I've tried to blank out a lot of things. <from that. laughs>
I just have a proposed change, and I have to go back to school, but it would be more useful to people to find this on this letter if instead of citing to the session laws, it's Minnesota Statutes Section 507.0945.
That's great.
Much easier to find.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then you put in parentheses 2008, close parent. So. Yeah, I just session laws are so hard to find.
Yep. Yep. Well, let's move on here to the proposal of process for counties new to electronic recording.
You don't need me to vote for anything.
No.
Okay.
No. I think we've got all of the critical items on that. Yep. We had a subcommittee that spent some time with, I think, Diane, Larry, and Sally, and Chris, talking about how we want to handle new counties now that we're past the task force stage and we're now into the commission. So why don't I turn it over, Diane, to you?
Probably Larry.
Larry? who wants to speak to this one?
Larry.
Well... We kind of decided that now that the commission is just in the standard setting, that really counties that want to start doing this now and aren't necessarily asking for their approval anymore. I think they're just announcing to the commission that they intend to start doing electronic recording and that they are going to follow the standard. So we changed kind of the format of the letter of more of a notice than asking for permission to start. And we decided that depending on the county, some county recorders could probably do this without going to their board. So we took out that resolution business that was required before and went with just the county recorder signing. I mean, if they still require their resolution, that's more of an internal process than anything else. It really isn't necessarily something the commission needs to make sure it happens because commission should be clear what the internal process is of the county or a county recorder to start filing electronically. So that was the premise as to how we arrived at this new format language. So it's there for you to look at and hopefully like.
Diane, on the notice of intent to implement on the first paragraph there, that pursuant to session laws, so you could add that language
mm-hmm.
there.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did include the form and then a cover letter to the
Well, I like your thinking in terms of the way to handle that, and it's mainly just a notification then that comes to the commission so that the commission would then know which counties are actively looking at recording so that we can put that on a website and make it available to customers so that it does clearly state it is a county prerogative, it is a county decision. And whatever process that county uses to come to that conclusion, very appropriate.
I highlighted the in compliance with requirement that the county, so-and-so county, uses software validated by the...
Yeah, we weren't sure which one it was.
Yeah.
Because we weren't sure what... there are some... you need validation for Model 2, so I'm not really sure what it's supposed to be.
They don't, but for Model 3...
And what you're going to do, what we're going to do for new vendors that want to... I may have that issue depending on who I hire to do my electronic
recording.
As to how the commission is...
How you get your indexing product approved for,
for use.
Model 3.
Yep. Yep. Well, yeah,
well, you know,
whether we require one for Model 2, I don't know.
Well, at this point, there isn't any reason to require it for Model 2.
Correct.
But Model 3, you almost have to have it validated so that all the information comes through and it's our end that creates the document.
Could we just add then at the end of that sentence, instead of after documents, say when under Model 3 standards or something like that, when using Model 3?
Who's going to do the validating?
Model 3. That's
another question.
Yeah, you can put
it here. And in fact, I think the commission, from my perspective, if I hired somebody
who's
that
do the validation.
Not a currently validated system, it, as long as I knew what the process was, I would be willing to pay for somebody to validate mine, but I don't know who that would be. Because you could make that a requirement of
the
county or the company that is, you know, doing the, as part of their process, they need to become validated, but there needs to be some way.
So that's our next job.
But it could be paid for by the county or the company that is trying to become a validated Model 3 e-recorder in Minnesota. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
Okay.
Because I think I have a big enough pot of gold set aside for this project that I can afford to do that if I had
to. So what we need is...
But I certainly would have to know what to do to accomplish that.
Right.
Who's going to do it?
And so that would probably be our next agenda item, is to
discuss how that's going to be handled.
To come up with a process. And can we do that through a private individual or
Except
a private
the DOR
company?
Do it.
Yeah, right.
So you don't ever want to
I mean, do we have someone with the technology? I mean, how difficult is it to validate those companies? Pam, are you still there? Pam?
Hello. Sorry. What was that?
Is it difficult to validate a new vendor?
For level 3?
For level 3.
You're talking about certification, level 3 certification?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it difficult? No, but we don't have anything in place. I don't think anything was saved from the last certification process. Unless somebody knows where all that documentation is.
I suppose it would be some of the stuff that we got from Office of Secretary of State, but I have no idea what I'm looking for on it, you know. So.
I don't know if that was actually handed over, just results were handed over, or just the letter was handed over, and all the process was kept with the...
And Pam, do you remember who did that?
Aaron and...
Sky King and Penny?
The guy's named John or... Can anyone help me?
I don't know. It's like an internal joke. I'm not so sure.
There's a lot of hysteria going on.
We're so excited about Model 2.
Well, as long as this doesn't end up in the records, I heard Sky King.
It is recorded.
Yeah, that... And I don't know what the contract was with them, that they kept the testing procedures or what.
So I should be looking for something from
you? You think they kept the testing procedures, Pam?
I don't know.
I don't remember what
they were. It should have been a work product of the task force that belonged to us. We paid for it.
Technically, yeah.
Did we get it, yeah.
Huh?
But did we get it?
That was, did we get
right. I don't know. I mean, what? So what should we be looking for?
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to remember the name of the contract vendor that.
How much stuff is there?
I'm sorry.
Beth McInerney was the task force kind of project manager.
Pam, if I get copies of the CDs, I could bring it up and we could kind of look through to see what it might be.
That's
all right. Pam would know.
Yep.
What?
I mean, some of it's, I can tell, it's not, you know, it's meetings and stuff
right,
like
right,
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But as I remember, they had about 40 documents that they submitted to each county's system to validate against. Pam, that's kind of what I'm remembering.
Yeah, and they didn't really submit it. They sent it via email, and we had to do our own validation.
Yeah.
Ray Hurdy probably has the
I was guessing, I was thinking that we may need to turn back to Mr. Hurdy here. And
if you revive my Hennepin email account, I might even have them.
Ah. You had a Hennepin email account? So that's where Jeff has gotten all my secrets over the years.
Now she's pretending like it's not even active anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you revive it.
Jeff's saying you just gave away my secret, Pam. Yeah.
Insider information now.
I think that we should do some thinking about that for the next meeting and put that on the agenda, see what we come up and find.
Yeah.
So we should hold off on this then, too? The intent, no. Letter of intent?
No, I think the letter of intent is okay.
But the statement that she's getting at
is down here.
The specific
it has to be.
Language. And I think, Diane, what you were talking about and relating that to Model 3, it truly does only relate to Model 3.
So she could put in there for the electronic filing of Model 3 real estate documents or something, correct?
It could, or just add on Model 3 only at the end of this sentence, right?
How is this going to inhibit anything that you're doing speed-wise?
No, not in the next month. No, okay. That's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
Do you know, is anyone else under a timetable?
I don't know if anybody's contacted Mike.
There's been one county that's contacted us about doing this.
Model,
yeah, being a
Model 2 or Model 3 or both.
Electronic recording was
they
in general.
Say,
that was
okay.
In general.
Have,
yeah.
Have any vendors contacted you, Mike?
I can't remember who it was. I'm sorry.
You sent me something
yeah.
Here today. Was that from a vendor?
From what? Today? No.
Or last week or sometime here?
Last month, I think. It's not from a vendor. It was from a county.
Oh,
I can't remember
county?
Which one.
Okay. Maybe, okay.
I've got her email.
Joel's memo. Okay. Forget it. I'm thinking of Joel's memo that he forwarded to me.
Yeah.
From
the only thing I would say, maybe it's not a concern, but if you would go out with a press release saying we have Model
yes.
3, our Model 2 standards are approved, we might have more counties looking to say, okay, how do I get beyond that pilot counties,
right.
The 27 or so pilot counties are, you know, that were approved or on the list.
At this point, there are no pilot. All counties,
yeah.
All counties can participate as long as they're using a validated vendor, one of these vendors.
Well, I think the intent was...
Yeah, but if we just said earlier that there isn't any validation for Model 2, we only need to zero in on Model 3, so I think Jeff's suggestion of just adding something in here to say that the validation is only for Model 3.
Take
okay.
a look at the line, Diane, that reads commission for the electronic filing of, I think all you need to do is stick in Model 3 real estate documents.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Just two words in there.
Okay. Cool.
Do we have to state anything like model, and then add on, just so we're clear, Model 2 does not require... validation.
I
mean,
no
because
idea.
I mean,
otherwise they're going to think I'm just doing Model 3.
Right.
What
right.
am I doing?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah. So they know that
then
they're.
Then you can add on there. Model 2 requires
yeah,
no
know.
Vendor validation.
Right.
Or. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say county. Do we say that? Yeah. No.
County vendor validation.
No. I was thinking that it only requires county level. validation.
You could put in, you know,
but
for model two,
from them in
for
the first
model
place,
two so documents, verification will be made by county.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that?
Model two verification will be made by county.
For model two electronic recording. What did I see? Verification?
Yeah, verification will be made by county.
Will be performed by county recorder / registrar of titles office. That cover it?
Thanks.
So kind of on the flip side of this, after, like Larry was talking about, so they would have this. This would be a form that's on the website. Fill it out, send it back to, it's got the instructions on the bottom, just sending it back to the LCC for, you know, on behalf of the ERER commission.
Mm-hmm.
Then our intent, then we, the group drafted up a letter then in response saying, we received this, you know, here's what's kind of valid under Model 2, here's what the goals are of the ERERC. And that's where I was talking about the definitions before. I pulled those definitions from the plan of action report that we drafted earlier this year. So, and the list, I guess, would be changed too, the list 11s, as we talked about earlier.
And then on the third paragraph, too,
mm-hmm.
Kay had found this, that currently the ERER Commission is reviewing and adopting the standards for Model 2. Well, they've been just adopted.
So yeah.
You have to modify that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, darn it all.
What, you weren't hopeful?
She wasn't expecting it today.
This is last week when I did this.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think we've got some definitions for Model 2 and Model 3 that I used it.
I used it also, I think, originally from that plan of action. I looked back at the annual reports that was done, and that's where I also drew it from. So,
you know, I think, though, that these are very plain, are very understandable. And if we're sending these out to, I mean, this is going out to counties that have not been in the process, that this definitely shows the difference of the two.
I have this letter coming from you, Mike, too.
Did we say this already? The notice of intent doesn't really have a signature line. The bottom of this is name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it.
Your intent,
it didn't
really. And we need a signature.
What? Well, there's a signature line.
Reference it, but doesn't really.
Oh, I put the name of the person, but name. Signature. Well,
name of county recorder and registrar. Yeah. Oh, that should be signature, probably.
Yeah, instead of name. Yeah, good point. I think I might have them.
They could just fill it out and email it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Right, but you really do want a signature.
Yeah. And I'll probably put it in print line then, too.
Yeah.
I print the name so you can tell what it is.
Can't you read everybody's signature?
Good Lord, no. Just see some of the signatures.
I know. That's what we were talking about earlier.
paper copy, not electronically. I know. Look at that.
Say, Diane.
Yeah.
If I sign one of these, could I scan it in and send it to you?
Yeah, I put like I send. That's why I put the email address.
Give me a model
in that.
Too.
What dark type?
You think that's hey, pretty out evident?
Is the Model 3 definition of Priya already out there? They, okay. You said it was in a white paper?
There's three white papers. And I think Pam worked on some of them. And she was maybe in D.C. or something.
Okay. Because it's on our letter here, we'll just put the new one in, the new definition of Model 3.
We'll just use the Priya definition.
Do you have one?
Because you change their model. They're changing these models like you had talked earlier. Swimming out on them, you know,
yeah. Well, there's Model 4
swimming
out there.
The Model 4.
4 is more like what we call a 3. 3,
right. Mm-hmm. So, look
at
them. And I would hope that they get on
the
website right away. They were just, you know, approved Tuesday.
And they, what? But what section would they be under? Do you know? I was looking around today. I couldn't find any.
Well, we just...
No. I but what section would it just be under?
You probably have to go under members only to get some of that stuff on the website. I don't know if it'll be listed out. Probably have to go under members only.
Okay.
Put your logo and put your password in there.
Okay. But do you know what section it's in? Okay. There's just like that drop down box.
Yeah,
that has
don't have
your,
all the papers.
Okay.
So you want to do that before...
Before we send this out, we should change this to at least align it. And it may...
I'll check it out.
It may say Model 4.
Yeah, I'll check
that
out.
That formerly known as Model 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure we want to...
Take a look at it. I'll check out the email if I can get...
As long as the description says...
Well, we could say... We could even refer to it, you know... Previously, do this Model 4, description, you know, often referred to as Model 3 within Minnesota Task Force or something, you know.
You could always link to the website, too.
Yeah.
The pre-alert.
I hate when they change things.
Oh,
I like the level. I don't like models.
As long as, as long as the verbiage fits, you can put any kind of title on there because you're just describing
right.
What it
exactly.
Does.
Let's keep it 3 then.
And I still keep
thought we might use 4's description.
Right.
I'll email it back then.
I always have to stop and think which it's supposed to be.
I use them both. Because I can't remember which is which anymore.
So then we can go back to the word love.
That's great. Good.
And then the final piece, along with the letter, would be like the listing of the trusted submitters and the certified vendors. Software vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the process of updating these. I think we got Indigo. Who is it? We're still waiting to hear from.
Still waiting to hear from Scott Moore. I've heard nothing.
From
Fiddler.
Where?
Fiddler.
And Jeff, you had a question, though.
Oh, I was just.
On the trusted submitter? Or
no, on
the certified vendor.
Certified. I remember they started this process, but are they is NGO in process with anyone here?
As
submitter.
As a submitter, but
no,
as a vendor.
As a vendor.
I don't think so.
So
see, at one time they were working with TriMin, but I don't. So I don't know if this. That's the only question I had was, did that. Is it in the wrong category? I know they're a submitter. I definitely know that. But
they're on both.
But are they? But are they a vendor? I mean, and maybe they went through the vendor process and were certified, but aren't in use anywhere. That's.
Should
do you remember Mike?
They don't. Well,
should we just call them and ask them, or?
But I mean, what when
they don't have any indexing system,
right?
So then they cannot be a vendor.
But did they validate?
In that sense.
But they were...
But at that point in time, they were working hand in glove with TriMin to try and get certified. What and how they got certified on the last day, and they submitted a document for recording in the last hour before we sunset that first commission.
Oh, so they are certified. Okay.
TriMin was.
TriMin was.
TriMin was.
But not necessarily NGO.
Well.
They were working.
I think NGO was trying to help TriMin get certified. That's what was going on. Because NGO wanted to submit through TriMin. And that's what I think was going on. But NGO was never in the business of recording documents. Mm-hmm. They never sold an indexing system. They were trying to have their technology people help Bill's folks when they were originally certifying TriMin. So I would take NGO off the approved certified list.
Were they on the Secretary of State?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is where this list
is. That's what I
thought.
They were.
Yes.
See, and like I say, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just saying, I don't remember.
Inherited data.
Yeah. Did they actually go through, and Bill Morey would probably be the one to ask.
Bill would be,
Because.
Now, if they are certified and
they're still a player
out there somewhere.
If they already went through the certification process, they should be on here.
Right.
I was just, I just know they are. I didn't think they were practicing today.
Mike is right. Those two are working in conjunction to get it to happen to work because they had to get it done right away. Bill needed it, and NGO could give them the shove to do it.
Because that was Rendell,
so,
right?
So how do you classify that? It basically was trying to do it with a little aid from NGO, but NGO...
NGO, I view it as NGO was a subcontractor for TriMin to help get it approved.
So yeah.
It wasn't any system of NGOs to my knowledge.
No, it was TriMin system.
It was the TriMin system that had been approved.
Right.
Yeah. Unless, do you know, NGO's not in the recording, indexing business for...
Not that I know of at all.
Yeah, I just remove them.
They never were back then.
Okay. No, I don't think they ever have been. I think they've always been a...
Yeah.
Move it.
I have to get the wrong person to bring that motion.
Well,
would take them off that list at least temporarily. We can talk to Bill and just find out.
We can add them back. Yeah.
And we can always add them back on.
Anymore,
but
anyways.
As long as we know they're not selling an indexing product, we're not harming them in any way.
And they're on the submitter side, which I think
that's where they are. Uh-huh.
And that's where they've always been in terms of my knowledge of them. But
I also contacted, like Chris said, she contacted Fiddler, hasn't heard back from them. I've contacted West Central Indexing, haven't heard back from them. Affiliated Computer Services Incorporated and Hometown Bank, and haven't heard back from those folks.
They are on processing, though.
I didn't contact Burnett. Or U.S. recordings, because
considering how many we've sent, I'm not sure we should be on
there. They are a little suspicious, though, aren't they?
And then
affiliated computer service.
And then
that's
at
ACS.
The very bottom of both lists,
yeah.
We've got the, like Chris was talking about, the appearance of this list. You know, it's a disclaimer at the bottom. And then... also, parties who are interested in becoming on this list should contact the commission office. So it also, maybe for future discussion, is like the certified software vendor, how do they go through that certification process for the commission then to consider. So in case we get any questions along those lines. I'll just refer everybody to Mike.
Good idea.
But
so more.
And I'll second that. All in favor say aye.
Bingo. Yep. Affiliated Computer Services.
Yeah.
That's ACS.
That's ACS.
The ERX.
Okay.
Yeah,
ACS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
We get some from them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, change the name?
Yeah.
Oh, it's ERX.
Well, ACS is...
They're not the same name anymore.
ACS has the
EXE. ERX is their platform.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the parent company.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Hometown Bank, that's the one that they use in Renville. So that's a functioning one.
Okay. We didn't get any other banks down in Fairmont.
They were going through a FIBR program that they have, which they don't have anymore. So now my banks can't submit to me anymore that way.
But they have a new program, don't they?
But
it's not FIBR though.
That discussion another time.
It's another day. So that's why they haven't been as interested.
So maybe if the commission approves the process, then this process.
All right, let's go back here and see what we need to get approved for moving forward. The problem is we don't have the votes left now.
Quorum anymore.
Once we had a quorum, always a quorum. Isn't that the Robert's rules? So we can vote.
They just have to walk in and walk out. It's amazing how they get stuff done.
Yeah.
The legislature.
What I think we need to get approved here for Diane is this notice of intent letter for new counties that wish to come on board. And are people fairly comfortable with what's on that particular document?
Yeah. I am, except for the thing that Kay and I could work on the Model 3.
Mm-hmm. And we did, right, on that letter going out there. But now I'm going back to this one here.
I'm
notice here, which,
that.
And I think we've just done a little modification about talking about inserting Model 3 then and just adding some language there on that sentence mm-hmm. afterwards for Model 2. Mm-hmm. And with that, are people comfortable with using that then as the form for new counties that wish to become involved with electronic recording? Are you okay with that? Someone wish to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt the notice of intent with the previously stated amendments. Is that how's that?
I'll second that.
Clarifying the Model 3 and Model 2 issues there in those for the counties?
Yeah, I do.
It's been moved by Mr. Carlson. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? It's been approved. Go forth and multiply, counties. I think it's a very good approach, and thank you very much, Subcommittee, for the good work. Sally and Diane, thanks for clarifying some issues there that I think were necessary and needed. Then when we get back to the letter for sending out, we'll do a little work on the Model 3 on the second page definition. And then the paragraph just updating what we've done as opposed to, and I guess then the names down there and the whatever modifications mm-hmm. we made on that, mm-hmm. and just those housekeeping things. That's all I see in here.
Yeah, I highlighted that because I was so sure. So,
do we want to say anything in here about thanking those that have helped over the last decade to participate in bringing about?
Do we want to mention we've been at this for a decade?
I think we just need a press release telling that the standards have been set for Model 2 and that is a great spot
positive impact for
the economy. That it's a good
the real estate business in the state of
Minnesota. That we have accomplished a great deal. I don't know that we want to talk about it being 10 years, but it would be nice to say that the commission, using the work of a previous task force, has now reached this level. Something, I don't know. We girls are good at that. You're good at that.
We'll finesse it.
We've given birth.
But I do think a nice press release would be good and sent out mm-hmm. that even all counties could use in their papers.
Yeah. And we can generate that to the MLTA.
So that it's just another way of giving notification out there to people, and somebody who didn't look at your mailing might see it a different way.
Mm-hmm. So we want to send a particular note to Commissioner Fink and Commissioner Reinhardt.
Might send a bold letter.
This is recording this. I won't say anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else that you need on this one, Diane, for those two letters?
Well, Janelle, did you? I just had a comment. I know that Eileen had just kind of been referring to statute rather than chapter, uh-huh. Which is okay.
If not, we're running over here. Let's keep going here. Let's see if we can get through the proposed. We've already laid this over once, haven't we?
Twice.
Proposed ERER website structure. Other business and adjournment. What we got left on here. People want to stay to go through the website structure here?
Well, I kind of looked at it. And I guess my feeling is I don't know what else we would want on there. We might look at, you know, your Model 3 definition that you're going to use in that letter so that it's consistent throughout.
Yeah.
You know, I might think of that, but...
The only thing that's new is the learn more and the about electronic real estate recording. The other stuff has always been on there.
Right. I mean,
you know, there were some PowerPoints that were put together here a couple of years ago for the original, one of the our old task force that laid out Model 2, Model 3, advantages of both that I thought were extremely well done by all the participants in that particular layout. I'm wondering if those are still available and could those be put out on?
Yeah, we got the Learn More where we got educational material. I mean, that's definitely where we could put those presentations. I'd have to look. I mean, do you remember a date or any distinguishing factor? Because I've kind of briefly looked through some of the presentation. They're very similar, you know, on them. So.
Well, I'm trying to remember. What's his name from PREA? Came from Wisconsin, I think.
Mark Ladd.
Didn't Mark present the Model 2 overview on that particular presentation, if I remember right? No, it was here. It was over in the training room over there. I remember it very well. Mark presented something. I think I presented something.
I did.
Wells Fargo.
Was that at the beginning of the last task force?
Did you present something, too, for that, didn't you?
Yep.
To bring everybody up to speed on the new task force?
Was that it?
I can't remember what it was. No. I remember where we were. I remember a number of vendors were there.
Yeah, it was a very well-attended session. And I thought the PowerPoint presentations were worthwhile for people to review.
Copies of all of them or not,
well,
I have a copy of mine. I can send you mine.
There really is a lot of information they sent us, so it probably...
Yeah, it's probably in there.
It's probably in there.
Yeah. And that would be at the beginning of the last task force.
I don't know if that's when it was or not.
I know it was at the time in which we were discussing whether or not to allow Model 2, and it was a very heated discussion at that time. And so we brought in all this information.
You were there for it. Simplify
one.
Yeah.
Simplify was there with their head guy.
Yeah, the president.
But that wasn't at the beginning of the last task force.
No,
that was probably about at the beginning of the third year.
I was going to say that it would be before Joel came up with
his
Model 2
subcommittee. So it was a year
subcommittee.
And a half into it, or 2 years into it.
So it's got to be at least about 3 years ago.
At least, yeah.
Well, Sally and I will look through them and shoot them over what we have, what we might think might work.
Anyway, that's the one of the past that I thought was of particular significance. People put in quite a bit of time for those, and I think they were extremely well done. And of all the things that I remember sitting through, that would be the ones that I think would be important to keep.
But the nice thing about it is the...
And yes, under Learn More.
Under the fact that we have that spot now is great, because when we come up with something we think about or want put there is great. I think that's wonderful. Yeah.
I have a question. Under Trusted Submitters and Certified Software Vendors, there's a guide for the Trusted Submitters and a guide for the vendors.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, the guide existing.
Right.
I don't know if I've found that one yet.
Yeah, there's nothing even on here. These are just words.
These are words,
This is just we're just talking
just
about the structure,
like
right?
Structure.
Yeah, yeah, not necessarily the content, right?
Yeah, because it's dates. So. Yeah.
But I think you've hit the main topics for outline, and for the future we can fill in data as we find it available.
If County Recorder and Trusted Submitters, if those get bigger, they can become their own pages.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the structure is good. I would move that we accept it.
So we can take off the guide for right now.
Yeah.
And thank you for your work on that.
Yep.
Do we ever get statistics or anything about how many visits there are?
I don't know if we can put a counter on it or not.
You can, but you know what? Usually it's me.
Every time we update things.
It's like me looking at it or something up.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can find that out.
Well, I've been out there a number of times.
I have too.
You know, because people have called me about things, and I've gone out there on a number of occasions and stuff. So
yeah, we definitely get that. We have that information.
Well, Sally, thank you for the work on this. Much done well.
There should be a June 21st, 2007 version of the Customs Submitters Guide.
Okay.
June 21st?
June 21st, 2007.
Is there one for the vendors?
I don't know. Okay, the vendors.
I don't think we ever did one for vendors.
Okay.
Should we also list the counties are reporting electronically?
Oh, yeah. I added that too.
Yes.
I wanted that.
And so what we're using is the list from the...
NACO website?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah.
That's the most up-to-date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was using a link to her page.
Okay. And we were going to link to the recording, reporting. That's, they wanted to report that also as well.
Anybody have any other new business items? No?
New agenda items?
Other agenda items?
For next time.
For next time? What would you like for next time?
I just wondered if there's anybody had any that they wanted to see addressed. The validation process.
Yeah. Validation is the main thing that we've talked about, and our proverbial CRV topic.
Right.
And again, maybe some more discussion on not standards, but XML. For the documents, didn't we discuss that last time?
Oh, the issue about schemas?
Yeah, schemas. That's the word I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I won't give you my thoughts on that today. I think we've all had enough.
Yeah, I just meant I don't think we want to let it go too long before we rediscuss that issue.
Yep. Hearing none.
Sally, Diane, is there anything else that you need, that you can think of? If not,
I move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn is in order.
Second.
Second, moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Yay.